I want to throw this at you guys real quick before we head out. It's actually there's also a potential fashion segment too. Bridget, you mentioned a week or two ago, I don't really remember when, but you called Nick Foligno the captain of the bottom six.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to bring this up. Remember that time like a month ago when the Bruins put him on waivers and we were all like, they finally made the tough call that they had to make. And it's almost just kind of like, you can't really imagine this top six playing this well without him in the mix right now. And it's just crazy how much difference a month can make between the perception of a player. Like, here we all were thinking like, somebody please take him, get his cap off the books. And now all of a sudden he looks like the Nick Foligno that was the captain in Columbus through 17 games this year. And he's a huge part of this team.
Yeah. And he sets up the second Krejci goal. And like, it's not only that he's just affecting the bottom six, like you said, like he's getting time on ice on the second power play unit. And he's been able to play with some top six guys and looks completely comfortable. And that was a beautiful setup, that he had, the two that he had, so it's nice to see, and he really is a very intelligent hockey player, intelligent person, really a nice guy. He gives, you know, some of the better answers. Like he's very willing to be open to as well in post game and in different interviews. So he just seems really happy right now too. Like after the game, when we talked to him, he just wanted to go on and on because he has so much that he's like proud of with the team and just different experiences that he's bringing into it. And you know, I think he just is enjoying the results, both the team's results and his own personal results. And he's just using it and feeding off of it. Kind of the way when Jake DeBrusk got going, he just kind of like snowballed. It just feels like there's a little bit of that effect with Foligno.
Yeah, and when they put him on waivers, it's like, yeah, everyone knows there's, you know, a 99% chance he's not getting claimed, especially coming off the season he was coming off, the cap hit that he has. But it's like, there was always that small chance, like, you know, people mentioned, like, hey, what if Tortorella and Philly wanted him? You know, it's kind of a younger team that could use a veteran leader. Like, what if they found a way to do something? It's like, you don't expect it, but hey, when it plays on waivers, there's always a chance. So, yeah, obviously they're looking back on it now. They're thrilled that he wasn't claimed and that he's still here. And now, like, when we're talking about how they're going to eventually clear salary off the books, when Forbert returns, it's like he's not even part of the conversation. Like we could sit
here.
Yeah,
he's like, it's like he has immunity.
Yeah, we could like sit here and debate, you know, whether he's overpaid. Like, I think $3.8 million for any fourth liner is an awful lot, but he's not going anywhere. Like, to your point, like he's been good enough, and he's such a leader on that line and in the bottom six overall, and just for the team in general, that he is too valuable. Like, he's too valuable to them that even. Yeah, okay, even if his cap hit's higher than it should be, you want him on the team and you feel like it would be, at this point, a fairly significant hit if they lost him. Like, there's other guys that they would rather move that are more, you know, a little more expendable, and, you know, it's not going to be easy. Like, every team knows what their situation is, but I don't think it wouldn't have been easy to move Foligno either. Like, even with his good start, I don't think you'd have teams lined up like giving you an asset. Like, it would still, no matter what, that cap clearing move is going to be a tough one, unless you know,
because you have to sweeten the deal.
Yeah, unless they surprise us and move someone that we're not even really talking about or anticipating. But
Well, and the funny thing to your point, Brian, about how the difference among a month makes, when they first waived Riley as well, it's like, I was at first kind of taken aback by that move, and he hasn't gotten, you know, maybe very many chances, but he hasn't been missed too much in the lineup either. So originally I was like, okay, Foligno, that makes sense. Riley, you know, maybe I wouldn't have done that, but now it just seems like the opposite's true. And I think that Foligno would be a big loss also in this already shit show of a PR situation, because he's so universally liked and just a good guy and one of those like character guys that you have in your locker room and a leader, and somebody who was like did handle things really well during the PR nightmare with Mitchell Miller, that it doesn't make sense to move him for a lot of reasons, but that would be just another thing where you're like, okay, our culture is this and Foligno is a big part of our culture because of the way that he is as a leader, and then you move him. So I don't know. And I just think he's very safe at this point.
Yeah. I mean, and you know, Scott used the term fourth liner, and that's, you know, objectively what he's being used as right now, but he's also a fourth liner who's, you know, getting second power play minutes, and he has 9 points in 17 games, which is a little bit better than a traditional fourth liner. And, you know, you say 3.8 million, if he can stay healthy this year and give you close to 40 points, combine that with his locker room leadership and on ice leadership, all of a sudden 3.8 is kind of not seeing it that crazy. I mean, it's not like he's making seven, right? So
yeah, true.
It's a great comeback story for him so far. And hopefully that continues. I'm willing to pass the baton on the fashion segment until, this news that I saw is official, which was just a potential Winter Classic uniform leak. I'll save that for a later day, for a rainy day.
I don't believe that's entirely accurate anyways, what got leaked.
Yeah, so I guess we'll just wait until we see that on the 29th when it comes out.
So who leaked it if it's fake news? Who just...
Yeah, some Bruins avatar Twitter account. There's like a million of them. Although Pete Blackburn did say he responded to it.
And said he quote tweeted, said like he didn't know, like he didn't know if this was definitely it, but it was similar to like something he's heard. So it might not be far off, but I don't think that was the actual jersey.
We'll just have to wait for that fashion segment then.
Yeah. Well, I don't think when.
Oh,
when
wait. Ronald McDonald jerseys.
Yeah, maybe we'll tweet that out from the skate pod account before we crash in the morning.
Yeah, so they both texted in the group chat. Oh, I really like these new Devils jerseys that they got, and I said I like them too, but they're giving me Ronald McDonald vibes. And then you can't unsee it once you see it.
Yeah,
and Brian photoshopped Ronald McDonald over Nico Hischier.
How natural did that mugshot look too? It looked like a hockey card. It was perfect. Yeah.
And he's like, wow, I didn't know Ronald McDonald was a defenseman for the New Jersey Devils.
Yep. Our listeners are like, yeah, I probably have to be there. Yeah, no, we're talking
about we'll tweet it out.
Yeah, tweet it out because it's great Photoshop work by you.
Yeah. No, it's gonna look good. One other thing too. I just wanted to mention this, and this is so random, but I was watching the Canadiens-Devils game last night, and it got me thinking. I was like, why does it feel like it's been 10 years since the Bruins played the Canadiens? And then they've only played them three times in the last, like, two calendar years, I feel like, or four times, and they played them three times this year and only once at the Garden. What the hell is wrong? What's up with that? Like, is the league really trying to just sabotage this rivalry forever? Very random, I know, but that just pops in my head. All right, it's getting late. I think we should probably wrap it up unless you guys have anything else.
Yeah, I don't like this new schedule. Like the way that you play some division teams only three times, it's brutal. Like if you remember last year, they only had three games against the Maple Leafs, and like Bruins Maple Leafs obviously in recent years has been a great rivalry. They only played three times last season, and one of them was the last game of the regular season. It was completely meaningless for both teams.
Isn't that how it is again this year? They play at the very end of the season against, let's see.
At the very least, the NHL needs to make it so that the last game of the regular season is not a division game.
Well, it's Montreal, the last game of the division this
year.
And
again, same thing. So they basically like flipped with Toronto, like, to Brian's point, like that's one of three against Montreal, and it's going to be a potentially completely meaningless game.
And I don't even think they played them the first time until like January or something. It's just stupid. It's like, and by the way, like I know there was something called a pandemic that happened in the last few years. So I know that a lot of games were canceled and seasons were canceled.
Well, that whole COVID season, they didn't play a single Canadian team.
Exactly. They're in the Tim Hortons division. But it's so weird to me that, like, you know, you look at a calendar and it's like the Bruins and Canadians have only, like, by the time this season ends, so fast forward to spring of 23, the Bruins and the Canadians will have only played at the Garden like three times in like 4 years, in a 4 year span. Like, that's crazy to me. It really is insane.
It would be worse if the Canadians were decent.
Yeah. I mean, they're getting like there. They got some surprises on D that we didn't anticipate this going into this year. Jack Guy and what's that kid's name? Caden Gooley, I think his name is, or something like that. Pretty good player too. But they're getting there. But still, just want to see him play the Bruins. It's a lost rivalry the last handful of years. They got to pick that back up. But anyway, we'll talk about that at a later time. I know Bridget has to cut this up, and she's had a long day. I can see it on her face. So,
and I have to drive to Yale again tomorrow morning. So,
God bless you. God bless you.
Can listen to this. I love New Haven.
Though. You can throw this gay pod on the radio when you're driving, though.
I already know what I said, though.
Do you know what Bridget told me about her all these trips to New Haven? She never gets the pizza down there. I'm like, that's like the one thing everybody knows about New Haven.
Okay, well, that's not my fault. I get out of work, I get out of broadcasting the games, and they're all closed. And I don't eat much before I broadcast.
That's a fair point. But you do have to enjoy the pizza down there. It's really good. They got four or five really good places.
Like, I'll get around to it. I'll get a late night pizza one of these nights. I'll make someone pick it up for me while I'm at the game.
By the way, Bridget, great job on the BC Lowell broadcast.
Thank you.
I was listening. I'm sure Scott was listening.
Yep.
You did a great job.
Thank you. Of course, the Bruins line, the quote-unquote Bruins line, didn't get to play together because Trevor Kuntar got suspended for the game. So I was like, oh, man, I had so much to say, and I was going to, like, really hype up this Bruins line because, for people who were wanting to follow Bruins prospects, it's easy. It's just 1, 2, 3. They're all Bruins prospects right here on this line all together. He had to get suspended. Oscar Jelvik, right? What?
One of them scored, though, right?
Yeah, Oscar Jelvik scored the game winner. So
that was a nice goal on the power play. He could, like, faked out a low player at the blue line and then just walked in and picked a spot.
Yeah, it was a really nice goal, and it gave them the win. So that was at least nice, but I was a little bummed out that they didn't all get to play together.
Yeah, I saw fan footage of the Kuntar thing. I didn't even, like, it didn't even seem like he did anything. It was just kind of a scrum, but, like, maybe college rules, like, they probably just have no tolerance for that type of stuff.
I think he might have said something, because when I watched it back, he was literally face mask to face mask with the other guy and, like, in his face, like, screaming something at him that I couldn't tell what he said. But maybe that's all I can think. But it was, it was unfortunate because that's the guy that's further along. Of those prospects, the other two are freshmen. Gasso and Jelvik are freshmen. And Kuntar is a junior, so he's the one that's closer to, you know, eventually entering the Bruins system. So it would have been nice to see him firsthand broadcasting, I guess, and on Nesson where everybody could see him, because he's been, you know, you can watch all the games on ESPN Plus, but, you know, Nesson's right there and easy for everyone to watch. So,
just drop my hat.
And that's a sign that it's time to end the podcast.
Okay. Brian's hat is done.
My hat's ready for bed. I know I am. All right. Bruins play the Blackhawks Saturday at the Garden. We'll be back probably Saturday or Sunday to talk about that. Thank you for listening. Good night.